really are talking about a cartel attempting to become a complete monopoly here.
Yes.
They want to be able to say, you will take this drug, and if you don't, we can, you know, certify you as incompetent.
And you'll take it at our prices.
Yeah, you'll pay and you'll take it. That's what they want to do. Ultimately, that's what the direction that all of this is going in. And they have certain scams and schemes, and there's a number of them that, you know, they use. For example, I know of situations in certain cities in the United States where you've got welfare mothers who are being interviewed by medical personnel who are saying, look, if you want to continue to get welfare payments, you've got this kid of yours who's going to school, and the authorities say that he's got ADHD and he's also depressed. So they're going to give him Ritalin and Prozac. Now, you keep your mouth shut about that. We don't want to hear anything about your complaints about that. Otherwise, we may find a way to cut your welfare off.
And then you find out that most of the kids who have gone into schools and have committed some of these crimes of shooting, most of them have been on some drugs like this.
Yeah, especially the SSRI antidepressants. I wrote a report about that several years ago, and it's posted on a premium content section of my site where I draw the connections and look at the studies on these drugs. I mean, it's right there in the literature how these drugs can cause violence and mania and suicide in a certain number of a percentage of the people who take them.
Well, how does the FDA approve all this stuff?
That's a really great question. You know, and why hasn't anybody ever brought the FDA into court on criminal prosecutions? Because, you know, since I'm going to say between 1976 and 1985, I was just looking at a citation on a study, about half of all the drugs that were approved during that period of time by the FDA were subsequently taken off the market or seriously relabeled to inform the user of, you know, major adverse reactions.
That they found out later, I guess, or the tests were suppressed and maybe they were never even supplied.
Exactly. This is how it normally happens. For example, the drug companies sponsor all the pre-approval tests on their drugs. You know, they're saying, okay, well, we want to get the FDA to approve our drugs, so we have to carry out certain studies, and these are expensive and they take a long period of time. Okay, fine. We, the pharmaceutical company, are going to pay for that. Now, since we are paying the researchers to do the research, gee, does that sound like a conflict of interest right off the bat? Now, suppose that we test this drug, and I'll give you an example, Xanax, approved for anti-anxiety. What they ended up doing was, I'm going to estimate the figures here, let's say they ran this clinical trial of Xanax for 12 weeks or 24 weeks, and they discovered that over that period of time, the results really didn't differ at all from placebo. You know, maybe even were worse than placebo, but for the first 6 weeks, the drug looked very good. So they use the first 6 weeks of figures, and they submit that as a report on the study to the FDA when the FDA decides whether or not to approve the drug.
And they look great, right?
It looks terrific. In fact, if you look at virtually all of the studies done on drugs before they're marketed to the public, one of the basic criticisms about all of these studies is that they're too short. Because how do you really know what's going to happen if you're talking about a drug for long-term use unless you test it out long-term?
And they don't. They have to rush it. They rush it to marketplace.
So there's the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, and that's just a little bit. I mean, they can put pressure on their own researchers. They can forbid them from saying anything outside of school on bad effects that the drugs might have. They can do all sorts of things. And then the FDA panels that decide whether to approve the drugs are quite often populated with people who have a conflict of interest. They may be a paid consultant to that drug company, or they have stock in that company, or they are a paid consultant to other pharmaceutical companies, and they don't want to become known as the FDA guy who said this drug is no good and I won't approve it. It's a club. It's a revolving door. The people who work for the FDA go out and work for the pharmaceutical companies and vice versa. They come back to the FDA. This is a criminal agency. This is the kind of agency that you would think in a just society. You know, they would prosecute it, they would close the doors, they would fumigate the buildings, and they would find something good to do.
This is the same agency that went after and put in jail Dr. William Reich many years ago. You remember that?
Yes, I do. And in fact, I've watched an FDA trial, basically, of a couple of people. It's very disheartening to see, you know, when they bring somebody in for selling a nutritional, basically a nutritional substance, and say, you're selling this as a drug and we're going to prosecute you. And they bring in federal prosecutors and reams of data. And here's some little guy who was selling something that was helping people, and he is now a cipher, a little tiny figure standing in a storm that is being waged against him by the federal government.
When they should be going after the giants who aren't helping people at all.
Who are killing 100,000 people a year in the United States. And if you look at
the third largest killer in this country.
Yeah, and there are some reports that would even go further and say it's the largest. You know, you can look at different studies and come up with different answers, but when I'm giving you the 100,000 figure, I mean, that's a minimum. I've seen a study that says we're talking 800,000, 900,000. So it's big. I mean, and vitamin deaths every year, zero. You know, versus at least 100,000. And who's getting the squeeze put on them? The vitamin companies.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
You know, you're selling drugs and pretending that they're nutrients. And we have to do something about this. Well, that's an attempt to cut out the competition because, you know, at least half of America is waking up to the fact that they want natural treatments and cures.
In addition to all that, do you also believe that they just don't want cures?
Yes, I do believe that. But we're now going at the highest level again. We're back to population control. And that is at that level. What you just said is absolutely correct. They do not want cures. They do not want it because it ruins their profit picture, but also because they want to control populations, not expand them. They want people dying ill, incapacitated. They want the turmoil of the emotion of the families and the friends and the coworkers and the colleagues around every single person in this world who is seriously ill and suffering. And we've all been in that situation where either we were the patient or we knew people closely who were, and there is tremendous turmoil in that situation. And think of what that does to this whole planet when we have the pharmaceutical murder of millions of people over time, the deaths, the suffering, the turmoil. That means you've got a population that you can very, very well control. Because people are on a very thin edge. Compare that to a society that is getting healthier all the time.